This is our interest in your prayers this morning as we look in the Word. Now, I've written a title on the board. I don't want y'all to get up and walk out on me now. You say, well, where's the inspiration for the new year? We are in the middle of a series about the gift of the Holy Spirit, but I felt like the Lord wanted us to deviate from that series this morning, and Lord willing, we will pick up, possibly next Sunday. But this is a new year, and I'm thankful for a new year. God is the one that designed it that way. God is the one that put the sun to rule the sky, and he created the earth to revolve around the sun, and he created the earth to spin on its axis, and that's what gives us the seasons and the times and the changes. And so for there to be a reset, a repeat at the beginning of, for a new year by our calendar and based on the sun, there's something about it because it's like there's a fresh start. It gives you a new beginning. It gives hope. And I know that there are many people, and I'd almost like to ask for a show of hands, but I don't think I'm going to put you on the spot. There are a lot of people that make what they call what? New Year's resolutions. Exercise. I'm going to exercise. Sometimes I don't even want to start on January 1st because I don't want to fall into New Year's resolution. Maybe January 2nd, but I'm still waiting on it. But, you know, there are things that people make resolutions about: weight loss, exercise, relationships. This year I want to reset. And those are honorable, noble things. There's nothing wrong with that. Those are honorable. What about Bible readings? I would really almost be very interested to know how many people here in the last week have read either Genesis 1 or Matthew 1. Okay, I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. But the thing is, and I did too, okay? I'm going to acknowledge something. I did too. But there's something about the new year that you set goals, and there's nothing wrong with setting goals. I believe, and I've said this for years, that there ought to be, the saints of God ought to be the most industrious people in the world. We should not be a lazy people, which means we've got goals, we've got plans, and you have to spend preparation for that. At the same time, the primary goal and focus should be seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things shall be added unto you. So we don't throw away all the other goals or dreams or plans, but we always need to have them subject to the will of God. Lord, I'm going to put you first. And so there are some that have Bible readings, and, you know, actually it's in my Bible case over there. I have a Bible reading plan. I print it out, and I'm going to get to that. But self-improvement. People think this year, you know, I'm gonna improve myself in some way or another. Is that not noble? I mean, isn't that good to want to bring about positive changes in yourself and in relationships? Spiritual growth. So in and of themselves, those things are noble, worthy endeavors, but there is a sad reality. And I think y'all know what that sad reality is, don't you? What's the sad reality about New Year's resolutions? Okay, so some of them don't make it to January 2nd. The second Friday. Now, I don't know if you all knew this or not. Maybe you learned something this morning. The second Friday of January is unofficially known as Quitter's Day. And you can say, Brother Michael, we came to be inspired, and you're talking about Quitter's Day. But the reality is that it's true. There's been research, the statistics say that in 2023, someone, PhD, did a study and said only 6% of people ultimately keep their resolutions. 6%. Pew Research Center said 9% keep them. So in other words, the gym is packed on January 2nd, and it's empty by February. I mean, is not that not the reality if we acknowledge it? And you know what? Here we don't just need to say, yeah, the world, they're really bad about that. Let's bring it closer to home. Is it not true that a lot of times the purposes that you make at the beginning of the year tend to fall by the wayside eventually? There's a lot of people that start Bible reading plans until they hit Leviticus. And then about Leviticus, and then the plan goes by the wayside. I told the young people, some of y'all may not remember, I told the children at the old chapel years ago, I said, if you'll read the whole Bible this year, I'll give you $100. I was trying to encourage them in a positive way, but I did tell them, you don't have to read Leviticus, though. I'll let you skip Leviticus. That was to the children. And I'm not giving you $100 if you'll read the Bible this year. But a lot of those plans, they also go by the wayside. Because at the new beginning, it's like, what do I want? What are my goals? What are my purposes? And I think that's important. Because someone without a goal or without a purpose is not going to ever gain any territory. Someone without any plan financially is never going to gain. Someone without a plan or a dream that the relationships in your life would be better, they're never going to get better. Unless you've got a plan, you've got a purpose, you've got desire. So those things are very important. But I wonder how many of us have had a quitter's day in our life. We started out wanting change. We started out being encouraged with the new year, fresh start. The past is behind me. What am I going to do with a fresh start? And then we come to a place that we too have a quitter's day. It might be January 2nd. But see, the second Friday in January is this coming Friday. So I want to prep you by the help of the Lord. Desire may still be there for a goal, but not the strength, not the willpower, and not enough desire to persevere when you don't feel like it anymore. Because a lot of times at the first of the year, people are revved up in their relationships, in their spiritual walk even, in physical self-improvement. They're revved up, they're enthused, they're encouraged. And then there comes the day when I'm just too busy. I've got too much going to do that. I just don't feel like going for a walk today. I don't feel like going to the gym. I've got so much to do. I'm going to let my Bible reading, it's just going to kind of, I don't have time for that. And pretty soon, there's a quitter's day. And pretty soon, you're no longer working towards the goal and the purpose. So, remember the story of John Mark in the Bible, in the Scripture. John Mark went on a missionary trip with Paul. And you remember what he did? I'm really glad this is in the Scripture. He quit. He walked away. And it wasn't just a light thing. It was to the degree that Paul was like, all right, John, you quit on me. I'm not interested in you going on the next trips with me. I'm not interested. I need someone that's going to be steadfast. I need someone that's going to be faithful. But then we read on that that quitter, John Mark, became a writer of one of the Gospels. We read about him when Paul said, hey, call for him. He's needful for me. I need him. And so he regained confidence. So that means that quitters don't always have to stay quit. And I'm not sure about the grammar or the English of that, but I think you get the point. Quitters don't always have to stay quit. There is a place of forgiveness. There is a place of renewal. There is a place to pick up when you have fallen and continue on. So the purpose this morning is this. We're interested. I'm interested in there being change. Everybody have areas in your life you want change. Something to change, to make something different, to alter or modify something, to transform, whether it's in behavior, or direction or appearance or circumstances. But change is hard, isn't it? Even in positive change, do you know that it's easy for people to fall back and be comfortable in the status quo? Even when you know it's not good for you. I know it's not good for me to do this, but it's my normal. Bad habits become normal for us when you've done it so long. That's what makes a habit, and you're comfortable there. And you might know it's not good for you, but this is my normal. And it's easy for people to fall back in to the status quo. I am interested in spiritual change more than diet and exercise and those physical things. So I want us to consider this morning, by the help of the Lord, some scripture that I hope and pray will be an encouragement to us in areas of our life that we need change, that it goes beyond a New Year's resolution that's going to end with a quitter's day, but that there would be something in our hearts through the help of God that will start bringing about and promoting growth in us spiritually. Something that will be lasting growth. The interesting thing about growth is it doesn't happen overnight, does it? When you start a diet and say, I want to lose some weight, you're good for one day and you step on the scales and you expect that I really deprived myself yesterday and I ought to see the scales drop 10 pounds. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's human. It's like, I really sacrificed yesterday. Well, how many days have you not been sacrificing? You know, it didn't get there overnight either, so it's not going to come off overnight. Growth spiritually is not always an overnight that you can just get up one day and say, oh, it's so much better now. But growth is slow and steady and purposeful. And we don't want to be discouraged when we know we're doing the right thing and we're doing what God wants us to do. But it's like, I don't see a lot of change. But what about just a little bit? A little bit added to a little bit added to a little bit added to a little bit is going to end up with something substantial. But too many times people are not willing to sacrifice for a little bit. I want to encourage you this morning in the things that God has for you to make changes in. Maybe it's your personal walk. Maybe it's been something you've been doing that the Lord's been dealing with you about. Maybe it's in a relationship that has been less than stellar. Maybe it's a relationship in your home. Maybe it's a relationship with someone else in your family or the in-laws. Or maybe it's a relationship at work or in the congregation. And you think, this isn't really, I think God wants more. Most changes don't happen overnight, but will you be willing to daily invest yourself in doing the right thing, even if you don't see immediate change? So there's a question that is asked in the book of Jeremiah. And by the help of the Lord, this is not, Quitter's Day is not going to be a series. So Lord, help us to move on. So in the book of Jeremiah, in the 12th chapter, I don't want to come next Sunday and say it's Quitter's 2. We just want one quitter's day, know what it is, and let's press on and move on to better things. So the book of Jeremiah chapter 13 in the 23rd verse, he asked a question. He said, can an Ethiopian change his skin? Or the leopard his spots? Then may you also do good that are accustomed to do evil. His point was, sinners are set in their way. And sinners that think, oh, I'm going to do better, they're going to keep going back to their sin. I can't change the color of my skin. A leper can't change the spots because they're set there. We cannot change ourselves. But God. You see, remember and recall over in the book of Matthew in the 19th chapter, in the 25th verse, where the Jesus was talking about how difficult it is for a rich man to enter into heaven. And the disciples were like, it's not even possible. It's not even possible because there's things that tie the affections up and tie the priorities and tie the heart. And they asked the question, Matthew 19, they said, who then can be saved? Who can be saved? In other words, I can hear Jeremiah, can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leper change his spots? Who can even be saved? And Jesus said unto them, with men, it is what? It's impossible. But not with God. For with God, what? All things are possible. This morning, spiritual growth is God's will. Now, if I were to tell you this morning that my goal, and it wouldn't be a good goal to start with, but just Jesus used things to illustrate a point as I would. If I said, with God all things are possible, and I want to be in the NBA, I don't know if I need to stay hid behind the pulpit. I want to be in the NBA. With God all things are possible. What would your answer be to me? What do you think? With God are all things possible? And so I can go to the gym. I would need to be there quite a bit. And I could exercise and I could work on shooting hoops and I can do that. I want to be in the NBA. That's my goal. With God, all things are possible. What do y'all think? Why are you chuckling? Are you limiting God? I want us to get a point here. Are we limiting God? Do you realize it wasn't God's purpose for me to be in the NBA? You can tell that by looking at me. It wasn't His purpose. I can't do anything about it. I could say, okay, maybe not the NBA, but I want to be able to dunk the basketball. I'll tell you what, it would take a miracle the Lord to have to give me wings. It doesn't matter how much I worked and practiced jumping. My body's starting to deteriorate, but with God all things are possible. I want to tell you, I am limited by my height. I can work so much, but I'm limited. But here's the thing. When it comes to spiritual things, is it God's will that you grow spiritually? It is God's will. So that means that God has given all with God, all things are possible. So when it comes to the spiritual needs in my life, I want to recognize and get hold of the fact it is God's will that I grow in this area of my life. If you are an impatient person by nature, is it God's will that you have more patience? With God, all things are possible. That does not mean that you're going to turn into that quiet, docile person. That's not what that means. Because God created all of us uniquely. But within our personalities, there is room for us to grow in the Lord. There is room for us not to say, well, that's just the way I am. You don't like the way I talk in my church? Well, just get over it. Just accept that's who I am. No, I can recognize the Lord wants me to have more love in my life. The Lord wants me to be more long-suffering with people. That is God's will. It's not His will for me to become like Brother Randy. It's not His will for me to become like Brother Max in my personality. That's not His will. He made me Michael. But it is His will that all of us grow in spiritual things in our life. So the places that we have been lacking, the places we've been struggling with, we're not talking about the NBA now. It is God's will. So it looks impossible. Change looks impossible to me, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Maybe you talk too much. Is God just going to make you quiet like a little mouse? Normally speaking, no. But can God help you control your tongue? Yes, He can. Maybe you're someone that's very quiet and the Lord has some things for you to speak up sometimes and you don't. You don't have to become like people that talk a lot. But the Lord can help you stretch and grow in who you are, that you would accomplish His will in your life. I don't want to come to a quitter's day when it comes to spiritual issues and say, well, I can't do any better than this. No, I can't, but with God all things are possible. Amen? I don't want to have a quitter's day when it comes to the spiritual things. So we are going to very briefly touch on a few things. We're not going to belabor it. But there are some keys to change from a spiritual perspective. There are some things the Lord had just given me, some of these thoughts, and I'm sure you could add to them, but these are the things I felt like the Lord gave me to share this morning. We have to have a desire for change. Acts chapter 11, verse 23. When Paul came, he said he had seen the grace of God and was glad, and he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Change is not going to come unless you have a purpose and desire of heart. In your relationships this morning, you say, I wish things were better in my marriage. I wish things were better with my children. I wish things were better with people that I'm around. How much do you want something to change? How much do you want it to change? Because see, the thing is, none of us have the power to change anybody else. We could just sit back this morning and say, yeah, I'd like to be able to change this one and that one. And if they would do this, then everything would be all right. But what about me? I don't have the ability to change anyone else. But by the grace and power of God, He wants to change me. So do I have enough desire? Do you know, this is what happens when someone has made a purpose, even in a New Year's resolution. And then one day they don't feel like doing something. Let's say you've been abstaining from sweets. And then one day, it's been kind of a stressful day. What do you want to do? You want to fall back to old habits, don't you? Just to have that sugary soda or maybe that kolache or that Dana. Just fall back to do whatever. Do you realize you have to stop before you give in? And say, is this really what I want? What's my purpose? Now relate that to spiritual things, folks. The things that God has called and is wanting some growth and change in your life. How much desire do you have? When you face temptation, you need to just stop and say, where's my desire? What do I really want? If we want change to take place and not come and have a quitter's day, it's going to, with purpose, Lord, I want to please you more than anything else. How bad do you want the change? And what about when someone stumbles and skins their knee spiritually? Does that mean they have to quit? You ever been doing something, whether this is just practical application for a spiritual lesson. But say on, maybe you're cutting something out of your diet and then you kind of have a little mess up and you eat something you know you really shouldn't have. And then, you know, at that point is where a lot of people throw their hands up in the air. Say, well, it doesn't matter then. And they just go back to their old habits. Why not just recognize, you know what, I should have done better there. I wish I wouldn't have done that, but I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to have a quitter's day. I'm not going to resign and say, well, this is just the way it is. How strong do you think marriages would be if people did that when there was a little disagreement or a valley of frustration? How do you like that term? A valley of frustration. Any marriages ever gone through a valley of frustration? And what would happen if he says, well, okay, fine then. It's just, this is the way it is. And throw your hands up. Do you know all those marriages would end? And it would not go well. There'd be no improvement. But it is when you might be going through that valley of frustration. It's like, no, I've got a goal and I've got a purpose. With God, all things are possible, that you can come out of that valley. But if you throw your hands up in the air when there's a little failure, a little misunderstanding, or maybe a big misunderstanding, don't give up. Don't give up, but keep your purpose fixed. Point two. So have a purpose and desire. The scripture says to pray without what? Without ceasing. The changes that you know that the Lord wants you to make, personally and in your relationships, I would encourage you to make them a matter of daily prayer. Not just once a week, but every day, every morning, Lord, this, I know you've been talking to me about this. Lord, I want to see growth here. Lord, I want to improve. And pray specifically. Don't just pray, Lord, give me a good day and help me to be all that you want me to be in Jesus' name. There's a place for those prayers. But do you realize places that have been stumbling blocks for us? I have found that when you make it a daily matter of prayer, it's ever before you, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. Lord, today, would you help me to keep my mind and my thoughts on you? Lord, you know this has been a temptation here. Lord, today, would you help me and give me the grace I need, Lord, to be strong when I'm tempted to do something that's been a stumbling block. Lord, today, in my relationship, would you help me to be the man or the woman or the husband or the wife or the child? Lord, would you help me today to be a good dad? Would you help me to be the husband, Lord, that I can have more understanding for my wife? Lord, would you help me to show more respect to my husband? Sometimes I just don't understand him, and I say things that cause... Lord, today, would you help me to be that wife that's easy to love? Every day, pray specifically for these areas. And you know what? You don't have to have a quitter's day. It doesn't mean everything is going to be peaches and cream, spiritually or otherwise, but it means if you want growth, step by step, pray without ceasing. Point three, without faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please him. And then the scripture, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Now, he wasn't talking about the MBA. Because all sounds, that's all, that's inclusive. He's talking about the things that we know are his will. Okay? That's what all encompasses. Is it his will for you to be a better husband or wife this morning? Is it his will for you to have greater peace? Is it his will for you to have more patience? Is it his will for you to more quickly focus on the good things and not let the world have so much pull? That's his will. Have faith in God then this morning. That the New Year's resolutions will break. But we're not talking about New Year's resolutions now. We're talking about a heart that says, Lord, I want to please you. And I can't do it by myself. And I need your help. But Lord, I am believing in you. Then you will see, sometimes you'll be marching around the walls of Jericho and nothing changed for how many days? 6 days. Seventh was complete. I don't know when your seventh day is coming, but I want to encourage you in areas you need to change. Keep marching around the walls. I hope you get the point this morning. Keep marching around the walls. You walk, march around once, say, well, nothing's happened. Day two, day three, day four. It's like, I am really tired of marching around the wall. We look ridiculous and nothing's changing. Keep marching around the wall. Have faith in God, because when you do, when you are living in obedience, God is going to work in his time, unless we have a quitter's day. I don't want a quitter's day spiritually. If you see me off a diet or see I'm not exercising like I should have, okay. But I don't want to quit spiritually. And I want to grow in the Lord. So have faith in God. Fourth point, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. If you want change, you're going to have to give up and die out to what you're trying to change. You're going to have to give something up. And a lot of people just want to just get it all easily. They just want it handed to them on a plate. Oh, my faith is in God. It's all about God. Folks, we have a part. We have a part. God is divine, and I can't do it without his power. I can't grow spiritually without God. I've got to be in the vine. I can't do it by willpower to say I'll be more patient, more loving, and more long-suffering, all the fruit of the Spirit. I've got to abide in the vine, because it's Christ that will bring those things in my life. But I have a responsibility to deny myself and die out to the things that I know aren't good for me. If you want to be holy and live a pure life, then what is it going to be? And again, I left my phone at my at my desk. Let's just say this is at the seat. Let's just say this is, it's not my desk. Let's just say this is my phone. If I say, Lord, I want my thoughts, and I want my thoughts to be good, and I want to, Lord, live holy like you want, then do you know what I'm going to have to do with this? I'm going to have to lay it down some. I'm going to have to, I say it's some, but I am going to have to stop feeding my mind with things that are unlike Christ. I'm going to have to stop. It's not, well, I'm going to do a little bit. No, if you want to follow me and you want purity and the blessings of God, then stop feeding on the dregs of the world. Stop looking. If you want to have a pure mind, then quit looking at immodest things. When you're out in the world, you can't help it. But when you choose to go hunt it out, don't expect God's grace to help you. Don't expect, you say, well, God kind of let me down. No, he didn't. He had grace for you not to look to start with. That's where his grace works. But when you choose to override it, then you start struggling. And many people come to a quitter's day. So if you feel like, if you've come to a place that you feel like I've failed the Lord, don't give up this morning. I want to encourage you. Don't give up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'll put it down now. The enemy comes along and says, you were going to pray so much every day. You didn't today, did you? You know what you should say to the devil? Thank you for reminding me, and go do it then. Don't live, well, I didn't read and pray today like I had planned. I guess I'll just quit. No. Don't live under bondage to that. Well, thank the Lord for reminding me, and go do it. Don't live under the oppression of accusation of the enemy, but don't come to the quitter's day. Even Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Bring your body under. Die out to those things. We're almost finished here. Point five. Is have humility. If you want change. And why is humility important to change? Can someone help me out here? Why do you think humility is important to change? Recognizing our need. God resisteth who? The proud. And he gives grace to the humble. That's James 4:6. So Lord, I don't want to quit, and I recognize I want my relationships in my life better. Lord, I want to be more like you. I've been this way for a long time, and Lord, I know I need to have more fruit of the Spirit. I can't do it without him. I need God's grace. But how do we access it? By humbling down. You know what humility will do for a marriage? Now, brethren, you say, well, God said, we're the head of the home. So who's the one that's supposed to be humbling? If you're the head of the home, you be the first one to humble. Isn't that a novel thought? You want to show leadership. Show leadership in being the first one, if there's a problem, to say, honey, I'm sorry. Wish I would have handled that differently. Would you forget? I'm sorry. I'm going to work on that. And then go work on it. Be the first one to break the icy silence. Be the first one to acknowledge that, you know what? Even if she was 99% wrong. You be the one, if you had a 1%, to be willing to say, you know what? I wish I would have handled that differently. And I'm sorry. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Folks, that can break down barriers in relationships through humility. And when you are tested, with spiritual growth in your life, more love, more long-suffering, more patience, more joy, all those things that we all need more of. Lord, help me today. I can't do it myself. And as you pray, Lord, help me to humble myself today. Help me. And sisters, I don't want you to feel go home feeling neglected. You sisters, if you feel like your husband, he does not understand me, as if that gives you a right to act carnally. as if that gives you the right to not be patient and loving and kind. No, that's an opportunity for you to win your husband by what? By the conversation of your life. To show him love, even if he's being a little obstinate. You go cook him his nice meal, and you be there with a welcome smile when he comes in, and you be there to show love to him, and you can find barriers can start breaking down. That applies in other types of relationships as well. But humility. God, resist the proud and give us grace to the humble. Okay, so we don't go to part two. We're going to conclude with the last point, and that is, remember this. This is a daily walk. Luke 9:23, when he talked about taking up our cross, how often were we supposed to do that? Daily. And when the children of Israel got into Canaan land, was it all theirs immediately? It wasn't, was it? How did they conquer Canaan land? Step by step. See, I'm not interested in steps. I want leaps and bounds. Folks, I'm sorry, life generally isn't in leaps and bounds. It's step by step. Growth comes little by little. And so I want to encourage you all, Friday is coming, which is Quitter's Day. But it doesn't have to be your reality in your spiritual walk with God. Lord, I want to grow spiritually this year. I want to be more like you want me. I want to gain some victories of some things that I really haven't conquered in my life. If you follow these steps, these are just some things, like I said, the Lord had given to me. But if you will apply these to your life, and don't give up, but recognize, Lord, today I want to do what you want me to do today. And then tomorrow's another day, another little step. And I don't see some miraculous change. It does not mean that God is not working. It doesn't mean you are not growing. It means you are consistently learning to walk in obedience and humility with God. And through time, you will see the evidences of God working miracles in your life through change. So Quitter's Day may come, second Friday of January, but I'm so thankful that the grace of God is stronger than our willpower and our purposes if we will follow Him in obedience. I wish you all a wonderful year. I believe the Lord has victories to give to all of us this year, but it's not going to happen by just willpower. It's going to happen by applying it spiritually. That's from the Word of God, and I believe there can be lasting change in our lives.